Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Texans Colts on Sunday. Stanford Brout joins the show for his weekly visit at 12:35. Frank Wright, been the coach of the Indianapolis Colts since 2018. We remember the overtime game week four when he decided to go for it on fourth down. Andrew Luck and company failed to convert. Texans got their first win. They ended up winning 11 games, but they ended up getting just completely manhandled by the Colts. It was almost Michigan-Ohio State-like on that Saturday when the Colts won, I believe, 21-7 behind Marlon Mack and just a very physical football team. It's been a roller coaster for Frank Reich. It's not as much of a roller coaster as we've been on here since then. You lose your franchise quarterback, DeAndre Hopkins goes, J.J. Watt. You know everything that's happened with right. The Texans. But the Indianapolis Colts have had their share of drama with Frank Reich going back to 2018. I mean, your quarterback retires during the preseason, who you think's about to find his groove. He's not even in his 30s. You're having to shuffle at the most important position. You have to go with Brissett. You bring in the ghost of Phillip Rivers. Now you're bringing in Carson Wentz, and you're rolling the dice there. But they've done a pretty good job of riding the ship, in large part because they've been able to do something that the Texans have been unable to do, in large part because they trust Bill O'Brien, the football idiot, to run things. They've been able to draft guys, develop guys.
In the second, third, fourth round.
Second, third, fourth round, first round. They've been able to do that, something the Texans haven't done, and the Texans will have their first round pick in 3 years in April. Let me just give you these statistics right here, John, because I was looking at the two deeps, or just the starters. I just focused on the starters for the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans. 15 of the 22 players on the Indianapolis Colts, 15 of 22 were drafted by Indy or brought in as rookie free agents by Indy. I count that as development.
It's still, you know, recognizing talent.
15 of 22, 8 of 11 on offense, and 7 of 11 on defense. The Texans have 6 of 22 that were actually drafted here. Nico Collins, Titus Howard, Charlie Heck, Justin Reed, Zach Cunningham, and Jonathan Grenard. That is it. Indianapolis has been able to, and it's not the same amount of drama that the Texans have dealt with, in large part because they did trust Chris Ballard instead of Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby to run things. But they've been able, even during the absence and the uncertainty of the most important position, they've been able to kind of stay afloat to where they're like one awesome offseason or one lightning in a bottle in December or January runaway from getting to where they want to go, in large part because they have a stable organization and they have a front office that is able to draft guys and keep those guys around.
Absolutely. And we're talking, I always look at the I call them, you know, the premium rounds, the not the top ones, but the second, third, fourth. I mean, just look at 2020. I mean, look at 2020 alone. I mean, there's Michael Pittman Jr., Jonathan Taylor, Julian Blackman, all second round picks. And what they do, is they develop these guys that are off the street as well, which is, as I said, also analyzing the talent and recognizing the talent and developing it. And what they've done, what Frank Reich has done, we're in a position where the Colts are actually kind of fighting for a playoff spot because they've lost some games in which they had double-digit leads. But they're in the playoff hunt. They have the tiebreakers. Here's what you need to know about the Colts, just as a team, and how you would feel about this team if you were, let's say that was Houston. Man, kind of, you know, blew some games, you know, 10-point leads, only beaten one real good team in Buffalo so far. Otherwise, people would be saying, yeah, I don't know how I feel about this, until you start looking at some of these draft picks and how they're playing individually. And then when you look at this, is it just bad luck? What is it? Because they actually right now, the Indianapolis Colts, despite all their issues at quarterback, they average more points a game than the Arizona Cardinals, than the Kansas City Chiefs, than the LA Rams, than the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Arizona Cardinals. They are putting points on the board. They're losing games with some tough breaks. But I would feel pretty good about myself, about Frank Reich and what he's done at the quarterback position, just mixing and matching.
It's just interesting. You just look at it. And I know that the Colts ended up beating the Texans in 2018 in the postseason, and they bullied them. But as soon as Andrew Luck left, mm-hmm. we were on the air and we said, man, this is the Texans division.
Yeah.
Because Andrew Luck at that time, I think you would even have said, even with how great Deshaun was in 2018 and how he was the lipstick on the pig of the organization, Andrew Luck was still Andrew Luck. So you thought that they had that advantage and they had all this other stuff. But you thought the Texans had the advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen. Because while Bill O'Brien was having a pissing match with Brian Gain, and then Jack Easterby was coming in here and everything was happening, the Indianapolis Colts were building the foundation. And despite the fact they didn't have a quarterback, that foundation is built to where when they do get the right quarterback, you feel like they're going to be in the right place. They're also doing something, and I think this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They're also, I think, establishing the type of culture that I think the Texans want, but it's not as polarizing. And to me, just me, like when I watch it, it just seems a little bit more authentic. And it doesn't seem like something that is like 100% top priority. Like Jim Irsay is what he is. Jim Irsay is a nut.
Mm-hmm.
He's an absolute nut. But Frank Reich comes in, and Frank Reich, there is not a more religious coach than Frank Reich. Frank Reich, the other day when they beat Buffalo, he took out his Bible and he read like a 2.5-minute scripture. You watch Hard Knocks, all of these guys, they're having Bible studies, etc. But it seems like something that just happens to be part of who they are. The most important thing for Frank Reich, like when they hired him, because they tried to hire Josh McDaniels earlier on, was we're bringing in Frank Reich because we like what he did in Philadelphia. We like his football mind. We like the way that he talks about RPOs, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
We brought him in, and oh, by the way, he just happens to be a Christian who has put this philosophy and brought this culture into the locker room. Here, there's a feeling, there's a sense that it's the other way around. It's you got to fit into this culture. This is the culture. And then, oh, maybe the football will come in second. Like Jack Easterby can quote any verse, so let's bring him in here and let him do something that he probably shouldn't be doing, but he can do that, and all the important stuff that the Colts value will come secondhand. Do you get what I'm saying? Like it feels like more of an authentic thing and something that's not like at the top of the wish list. Like I don't think Frank Reich got hired because he knew Bible verses, or else they would have hired him from the very beginning. They tried to hire Josh McDaniels.
Absolutely, and I think what you're saying is kind of an offshoot of what I said yesterday. The Texans they want you to be, you know, the Stepford Texans. You know, fit into a box, look perfect, act perfect, be perfect, and we'll worry about you playing in this culture actually developing later. You just have to be this type of person off the field and a good enough player to play in the NFL, and we'll see about that later. The Colts, they establish a culture, but it comes from within. It comes from the players building it, not just being told to build it. And then that's the authenticity that you're talking about.
Yeah, and you listen to Frank Reich. I mean, I can only imagine what, like, you know, Easterby and whoever else thinks when they see Frank Reich go up there. But the meat and the potatoes
mm-hmm.
is when you hear him talk about RPOs and you hear Frank Reich describe, you know, the criticism that he's getting. This was Frank Reich, and this is just some remarkable stuff. I enjoy, you know, the Bible verses and stuff. But I think this is the most important thing. And this is what, if you're a Texans fan and you want to get to the point where you have stability and you have an organization like what the Colts have, this is, I think, the type of dialogue that you're going to have to hear. And we hear it from Caserio, but you're going to have to hear it from the guy that's on the field on Sunday. This was Frank Reich responding to the criticism about not running the ball enough on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he goes about as in-depth as you will ever hear a head coach go.
Assuming everybody's okay with the first half in the second quarter, when we're the run pass ratio is heavy pass and it works, it's okay. But when it doesn't work, it's not okay. So I understand that. So let me just talk about the second half. You know, we come out, we go right down the field two times and feel good about what we're calling. There's 15 first and second down calls in the third quarter. Eight of those 15 plays are directed to Jonathan, three passes, and then the rest were RPO runs. And then just really close out by saying, just this is kind of a philosophical thing. And I realize not everybody will agree with this and not everybody will like it, but this is just kind of who we are and who we're going to continue to be. Because when you're a one back offense and you have to find creative ways to handle all the run blitzes, because we have Jonathan Taylor in the offensive line, we have teams get very creative in run blitzes and in heavy boxes. So one of the ways to combat that is formationally to do things. Another way is RPOs. We're going to continue to not major in RPOs, but it's going to be a part of what we do. I'll just give you the numbers on those in the second half. We had six RPOs in the second half that were called runs to Jonathan that ends up getting thrown. And on those plays, we averaged 7 yards a play. One thing that I think is important to note, that it's interesting about RPOs. They're throws, so you don't get, so if you, but you're calling the run. And if you average 7 yards a play on a run, you're going to be real happy with that. And I'm really happy with the productivity of our RPO game. It's been exceptional. And it was an exceptional in this game as well. Incomplete, plus 15, plus 11, plus 7, incomplete, plus 7. That's almost 7 yards a play. So happy with that.
There you go.
Frank incredible Clark. Detail, incredible football insight. And as I was listening to that, I looked at the text board, and one, we're getting a lot of texts, but one in particular jumped out at me, and it just kind of has me perplexed. Do you not believe that faith-based coaching is important? And my faith-based, not faith-based, I don't care. When I'm watching football, I don't care if the coach is faith-based or not faith-based.
Yeah, I don't know if it's important. I don't think it's unimportant. I don't think it's
No. I think here's the thing. Frank Reich is an incredible football coach, as you just heard, who has an incredible faith.
Yeah.
The Texans want incredibly faithful people who are football coaches.
Maybe good football coaches.
Maybe good football coaches, maybe good football players.
That's the difference. That's what it feels like.
You got a hell of a football coach there by any standard, by anybody's in the game's opinion, who is incredibly faith-based, and good for him. I am too. So are you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I don't care. I don't care when I'm watching a football game.
If I'm interviewing a head coach, and this is just me, I'm not rich enough to own a team, and I'm going through the job interview questions. Like if I'm Nick Caserio or if I'm Jack Easterby, your religion might not even come up.
Exactly.
It might be something that, like, 3 months into the process, you're Jewish? Okay, yeah. Cool. Oh, you're Christian? Okay.
Or whatever. You want to go to Bible study?
Yeah.
This is like as, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, it's not going to come up for me.
It just struck me with that text. So I appreciate it because, first of all, the answer to your question is I don't care when I'm watching football.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of highlights everything. We want incredibly faith-based people that could be good players or coaches. You got, on the other hand, people who are incredibly good coaches who could be very faith-based. That's a big difference. Big difference.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Jim Mudd in for Figgy Fig. Coming up, the Houston Texans. They're using something that soccer moms and corporate men with beer bellies use to evaluate performance. Should they be? Next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Nick Caserio said this yesterday. I don't know what to make of it, man. Rex Burkhead, we know he's a favorite. He should be, honestly. Like the card that you're dealt, I can't hold it against Rex Burkhead that he's the best running back here. I know in a perfect world, even when he was in his prime, Rex Burkhead's your number three running back, and he's one of those like special teams, glue guys, lunch bell type guys. But in this situation, he's your best running back. That's not his fault.
No.
I actually think Rex needs more touches. I feel like I'm doing Nebraska radio in 2010. But when I hear Nick Caserio say this, I respect the resource and I respect the efforts of Burkhead, but I also fear that this is going to be the type of evaluation that we have to look forward to as Nick Caserio gets more draft equity, et cetera.
I'd say this is a good example of a player, time speed and game speed. Like when you watch Rex play, you don't sit there and go, he's slow. Maybe some people do, but I certainly. He made immeasurable contributions to our locker room. One of the best teammates we have is selfless, did whatever he has to do, and he practices as hard as any player that we have on our team here currently. Like, you know, we have all the GPS and the data, and his loads and his measurements are as high as any player on the team on a week-to-week basis. It shows his effort, his attitude, the way he works, and the way he prepares.
So what are we doing? Like, are we counting steps in practice? Like, I see people, like, counting steps. I see soccer moms doing it and stuff. It actually annoys me. And props
remember
to
he has that whoop that he wears?
That whole counting steps
Fitbit.
Thing. Just go get you a workout in. I don't need your steps. Okay? Like, that's
what
annoying.
What about when they tweet them?
That's annoying in the real
2003.
World. 2003. Yesterday, I had a buddy, by the way, on Facebook
yeah.
that was hyping it up. He had like a whole story. This dude's always been like a free-spirited dude. Like he was skateboarding in like kindergarten and doing like just crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But he's sitting there and he's hyping it up. He's breathing hard. He's like, the thing I've learned about social media, and we'll get back into this step thing in a sec, but he's like, people only post their best, but you got to, sometimes you just got to be vulnerable, and I think you just got to post your worst. So I don't want to post this time, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I'm like, good Lord, fat ass. Like, what are you working with? And he posts it 3 miles in 21 minutes.
Get out. He has a humble brag.
Get the hell
That's
out
the
of
humble
here.
Brag Hall of Fame right there. Get out of here. I hope you gave him a load of crap.
I did. I said, dude, you're the biggest goof.
Just 21 minutes.
He said, oh, you know, just trying to work back into shape.
He's the guy that when he goes into a job interview, he's like, well, my only problem is I just try too hard.
That's what the craziest girls say when they get broken up with. I care too much.
I work too hard. I care too much.
But counting steps in practice. Right.
Let's not oversimplify it. It's heart rate. It's,
yes.
You know, all kinds of really, you know, in the weeds detail about each player's, and they all wear these little devices. Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah,
I get it, and I think it's a valuable resource. I'm not rolling my eyes and being like a boomer that's sitting there saying I don't like this. But when I hear Caserio speak at the Sloan Conference, and I haven't seen Nick Caserio with a full draft, although I think his draft class is looking okay so far.
Decent.
His limited draft class
like
is looking all right.
Davis Mills.
I'd like to see some more Nico, too. I'd like to see some more Nico targets, but I think they're looking okay. I think Garrett Wallow's getting better on special teams. So I'm not trying to take that away from him. But I worry that some of this data and the bad side of analytics, like the overanalyzation, if I'm talking about my fear, and I'm the biggest Caserio fan, would you agree that I'm the biggest Caserio optimist here?
You are the first Caserio fan in this city.
I'm concerned, though, like the more I hear him talk, that some of this like technology and some of this type of stuff might be too much of a factor when it comes to evaluating guys.
It's a tool. It's not the tool.
And I think he would probably say as much, but it's one thing to say it.
I understand that, but when you're explaining how Rex Burkhead is a valuable running back.
Like, you didn't need to tell me that Rex Burkhead maximized what he had and tried hard. But if you needed to look at some sort of, like, watch to tell me that Rex Burkhead plays hard, Rex Burkhead would have never made the NFL if he didn't play hard.
He's faster than he looks.
Exactly. He's got that deceptive speed.
He literally said that.
Yes.
He literally
said I don't need that data to describe Rex Burkhead.
Right. That's why I said it's a tool. It's not the tool. Because even though you don't need it, it's nice to know. It's nice to have. And they look at all this data on every single player. A lot of people don't realize just how much detail they look at on these guys. What exertion rate they had, heart rate, how long did they sustain it, you know, what level of reverse oxygen or whatever they call that thing, that they were working at to show how much effort they gave at practice. But here's the thing. He absolutely busts his ass at practice. That doesn't make him good. It doesn't make – if they paid me what they're paying Rex Burkhead – and I hate being this guy, but it just popped into my head. If I paid $10 million, I'd score 28 points a game. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about effort.
These guys make millions of dollars.
No.
Play a game.
No. I'm not – follow me on this because I think you would fall in the same boat.
Don't put pressure on me.
I'm going to put pressure on you like this. If they paid us the same amount of money that they paid Rex Burkhead, would we not try at practice? Would we not give every single bit of energy we have? I'd look like a beached walrus, but I'd be given energy. I'd be given everything I got. So just because you're exerting yourself and giving the absolute most and all the data says this guy works really hard in practice, doesn't mean you're good.
But in football, can you really measure it like that? Like sometimes,
that's what I'm saying.
Like sometimes there's sometimes you're trying too hard. Like sometimes you over pursue.
Right.
Like sometimes you're
But I'm just saying they're equating the effort with his production on the field, and that's not the way it works.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, he mentions Silicon Valley and he mentions all that, and we've talked about the Texans, and I talk about, like, you know, there's just like a slimy corporate feel sometimes.
Yeah.
With some of the stuff that goes on with players, et cetera. And sometimes I think these tools, I think they can be used against you when they don't need to be used. Like, for example, like if Desmond King gets benched because of a lack of effort in practice, or Charles Omenihu gets benched for a lack of effort in practice, he might be practicing, but then all of a sudden you pull up this data, and if the data like says, oh, you're giving this much effort, that much effort, that much effort – If I knew that Nick Caserio was the only one using this data and other guys weren't like trying to use it to try to present it like a certain way and like latching onto it, then I would feel a little bit more comfortable. But I just feel like this data could be used and it could make you overanalyze things that don't need to be overanalyzed and look at stuff that is probably not the best stuff to look at. But I do know that Caserio is going to maximize every resource he has. I just hope there aren't too many like people in his ear, like talking about tracking devices and stuff
like
that.
Rex Burkhead busts his ass. No one is denying that. And they have the data to back it up. Rex Burkhead also has, going into week 12 or week 13, 96 yards rushing. Going into week 13, the guy who busts his ass and they have the data to back it up has 96 yards rushing. It doesn't equate. It's a tool. It's not the tool.
Moral of the story here, counting steps annoys the heck out of me.
Now I know I'm going to get you a Fitbit for Christmas.
Do not. I would throw it away. I think those things are silly.
Yeah.
And John Lopez, if he made millions of dollars, he would try hard.
I would try hard. Yes, I would.
Stanford Routes joins us every Wednesday at 12:35. We'll hear from him next. We'll also look ahead to a very crucial day for the Houston Texans and it ain't on Sunday. Next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, counting steps. I'm telling you, it bothers me.
I can tell.
I don't care about your steps. Go get you a sweat in.
I might get me a Fitbit just so I can tell you every day how many
steps.
You
need to know about your steps. Now, it helps you motivate. If it helps motivate you to lose weight, that's great.
Yeah.
But just don't care about your steps. It's like I don't care about your second fantasy team. Some will say I don't care about your fantasy team.
Oh, no.
If you want to tell me about your one fantasy team, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But don't say, in one league I had this, in the other league I had that.
How many leagues you in?
One.
Me too.
That's it.
Yep.
Been in the same league for 11 years. Yep. One league. That's it.
Same
don't ask me.
Same thing with the tournament bracket. You don't do one bracket.
Me. Yeah. That's it. Thank you.
One bracket. Now, you might enter that in more.
I think you could talk about one.
Yeah.
Talk about one. I don't need to know the multiple ones, and I don't need to know about your steps. Texans are counting steps at practice. Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest cautionary tale for Nick Caserio is I just wonder how much of this data, how much of this analytics stuff is going to be overused. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying, like, as we approach the draft, and in 5 months it's going to be the NFL draft in Las Vegas. By the way, I'm going. I don't care what the boss says.
In Las Vegas?
Yeah, I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. And hopefully he can figure it out as well. Armin, let's get on that. 713-572-4610.
Just go, 16. Even if you're not. I mean, just get a remote.
Let's get on that.
Man,
yeah. John Harris, Vandy, let me use y'all's equipment.
Yeah.
During the thing. But I'm going. I digress. What I'm saying, though, is that I'm worried. If we're talking about concern, like whenever you're evaluating someone before they do something, you say, well, he is this. But he is this. So you list the negatives and you list the positives. The positives for Nick Caserio, I think he's very smart. I think he's very insightful. I think he has a lot of experience. I think he's a hardworking guy.
Yeah.
And I think his vision, I think he has a pretty good vision. I know this year it's hard for people to understand, but I think this year is just one of those years where you're going to lose. You're trying to figure something out.
Yeah.
The negatives, if we're talking about that, I don't know how much of New England's draft history we blame him for the rough draft history.
He's limited here because of Jack Easterby.
I think Jack Easterby just being around him, I think that's a negative. I think Jack Easterby even giving inputs on draft picks, I think is a negative. Even if you are able to shoo him aside, I just think the fact that he's talking to you is a negative. It's like when you're a parent and you don't want your son to hang out with a certain person.
I don't
person.
Like those boys.
Exactly. It's not because you think that person's going to make your son go rob a store. It's because you just don't even want your son, that type of information going through your son's ears. That's how I feel about Jack Easterby when he's in the room with Nick Caserio. And I also think Nick Caserio might overanalyze some of this analytics stuff, some of this step counting. That's my concern.
I agree with you. And there are people over there, well, let's face it, Jack Easterby's in the middle of all this, who kind of have their hands on things that they overvalue. The socks on a player, right? The everything matters on the scoreboard at the training facility, or it all matters on the scoreboard at the training facility. How things, you know, look, it stands to reason you got to be careful because, you know, the same person who did that might be overvaluing, the data says that Rex Burkhead should be trying, you know, the most because he's, you know, he's working the hardest.
But I don't know how you can measure trying the most with like a step counter.
Well, you I they have more than that.
You yeah, might just they, be they, you they, might just be a goofball running around.
They do a lot of more than that. It's not just like a Fitbit or a Whoop or something.
So, and what if you're hurt? Like right. what if someone's practicing hurt?
Right.
It's weird. 713-572-4610. It might be something that's just, you know, way above my level of intelligence. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. John Lopez said something old school. He said, if I made $1 million, I would try hard. I was very shocked by that.
Yeah, I would. Wouldn't you?
Sure, John. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I just had a couple of points. I've never heard anybody really address this before. I played football half my life.
Oh, wow.
I think one of the things...
Adrian,
yeah, I played
Adrian
all,
how old are you, man?
I am 66.
So you played football for 33 years. That's impressive.
Well, I played since Pop Warner football all the way through college. Signed a 3-year contract with the Cowboys, but got wavered for injuries.
Football
but
guy.
Yeah. Yeah, but... So I'm kind of an old school in the way we used to play and stuff.
Okay.
So the two things that I think are should not be legal in the NFL. Number one is a shaded glass piece that covers your eyes. I don't mind the clear one, but I think half of playing the game is reading your opponent's eyes, where they're looking.
No, you're not alone in that. Go ahead.
And the second point was, if you want to reduce injuries in the NFL, take the frickin' face mask off. I guarantee you those guys are not going to leave with their head if they don't have a...
old school. Now, that is old school.
See what you started? You start sounding old, and all of a sudden we get that.
It's not...
Do you think Adrian was listening to the show?
Yeah.
Like, I've always wondered when some of these older fellas call in, like, are they just listening, or do they just decide they're going to pick up and call?
No, he was listening because he said that. He talked about, you know, the old school stuff.
So he just heard you say something old and thought he was going to call in and give his old takes?
I didn't say anything old. I said, you and I.
Well, if I made $1 million, I'd be out there giving my all every day.
That's what you said. That's exactly what, Jim, is that not what he said?
That's exactly what he
said. That is a direct quote.
At my job, I couldn't half-ass it.
I said I would bust my ass, first of all.
That's exactly what you said.
The point is.
So that leads to that.
The point is.
Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame?
The point is, I would suck at football.
Yeah.
But but I would try my darndest if you paid me, I don't even know what he makes, a couple million, I'm sure, to his veteran status. And that doesn't equate. That's my point about those. Mm-hmm. The
visors are awesome, too, by the way.
But the shaded ones, I get his point, and he's not alone in that.
No, those are awesome.
Yeah.
What do you mean? That's a popular opinion? You shouldn't wear a visor?
Visors are cool. No, the shaded visors.
Those are awesome.
They are awesome.
You shouldn't get rid of those.
Visor,
they look awesome.
Are you not listening? I'll tell Jim. The shaded visor does kind of conceal, where running backs are looking, what quarterbacks are doing. Well, quarterbacks don't wear them, but linemen, et cetera.
It's like steroids in baseball. It's unfair.
So are you? So should you be allowed to wear sunglasses in poker?
No. I've always said that. I have always.
You've always said that?
Always.
Like, that's been one of your hot takes.
No, I just always have believed that. You should not be allowed to. Ask Nick Wright. We had a whole discussion about it, and he agreed with me. When we were doing the show 7 years ago, whatever it was. Yeah, and he's,
ooh.
No, I'm saying because he's a semi-pro poker player.
He is?
Yeah,
is that like a semi-pro football player where you have an extra 30 minutes after work and
no.
you go there and tell your stuff?
He's been on poker at night twice.
Yeah, but they just invite celebs.
No, they do not. You got to be able to play poker.
I feel like I saw a Kardashian on that.
Well, they must have been able to play poker. No, he's like good.
So you don't think you should be able to wear sunglasses.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Rick, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead. Do you have an old man opinion for me?
Oh, God, no. I feel like the Texans are counting these steps to give them a boost of morale when they reach that goal of counting their steps. So, you know, if it's 500 steps for the day and they reach that goal, gives them a little morale boost. Because their morale's got to be really low, man. Because they can't count wins.
So you're telling me they're doing what the sales staff's doing here? They're counting steps up and down the hallway. That's where we're at.
I think so, guys. And you got to watch out for the people that put the Fitbit on their dogs to meet their goals. I don't think the Foxborough mentality is gonna stick here in Houston. You can't bring that type of mentality, the little small town mentality, the fourth largest city in the world. It's just like that little cult mentality they have up there is not going to fly down here, guys.
Well, it's not.
He's talking
early returns.
People putting the Fitbit on the dog?
I've heard that too. Yeah, I think
that's a thing.
I don't. You're not supposed to run too much with your dog. First of all, that's a big no-no.
Yeah, but dogs just walk a lot, like up and down.
Yeah, but you shouldn't run with them.
Do you think the counting steps, like, can you cheat the system on counting the steps? Like, how are all steps equal?
Exactly. No, I totally
like
agree.
I had this many steps. I'm just so confused by it. I don't know. I don't have a problem with like soccer moms and stuff doing it, but when like don't ask dudes start counting steps. I wonder if Stanford Brout counts steps. Let's ask him. I doubt it. Stanford, are you a step counter? Do you have like a Fitbit or anything like that?
No.
Thank you, because you're a real athlete, right?
I mean,
you don't need a measurement. You get your run in, you put your iPod in, and then the sweats and the feeling tells you all you need to know. You don't need some damn watch telling you how many steps you ran.
Wow, I'm actually flabbergasted right now because I cannot agree with you more, Landry.
You're getting smarter. You get smarter. That's
or
what
you are.
That's what happens or when you get a big dub on Thanksgiving. You go to Jerry World, you get a dub, you get smarter, Stan.
Y'all notice, huh? Y'all notice that? Okay. Just want to say. Just want to say.
Lot of flags.
Landry.
Yes.
Sir. We are on the brink. We're on the brink.
We be in the Raiders
of that medium plus.
Yep.
Garlic mashed potatoes.
Yep.
Steamed, not grilled. Steamed asparagus on the side.
Yeah. Me and Stanford bet. I bet him that the Raiders would not make the playoffs. So that win was very important to him. Did you ever look at officials? Because I want to talk about this before we get into the Texans. The Cowboys were saying that they actually scouted out the officiating crew and they anticipated a lot of flags because Sean Hockley, the son of Ed, their crew has been known to throw a lot of flags. Did you as a player, did you ever look at the officiating crew and adjust accordingly as to how you played, or do you just go out there and play and charge it to the game and not take on that extra information that could be counterproductive out there?
Well, once you've been around the league, or should I say, once you've been around for a couple of years, you do start to get to where you recognize certain umpires, certain referees, people like that, to where you kind of get a feel for their refereeing style, should I say. I do remember several times where our DB coach, Rod Woodson, would go and he would basically tell us, hey, guys, so-and-so is going to be the referee today. So, you know, he actually allows a little bit more tighter man coverage, a little bit more physicality. So you can go ahead and kind of loosen up a little bit. Certain guys could be, hey, you know what, so-and-so is the referee today. You know how his crew is. You better go ahead and be buttoned up. If you get called for anything, don't say anything back because he's quick to go ahead and throw a flag for personal foul or, you know, some sort of conduct. Unsportsmanlike or whatever. So once you've been around, you do get a little bit of a feel for it, but you don't want to let that completely take you out of your game because you don't want to be out there playing soft just because you're worried about not getting a call.
You think Ed Hockley was on steroids? Do they test refs for steroids?
Landry, I have no idea what the refs do any time between
Monday. He was getting pretty
Monday.
Jacked, though, Stan. I just know you guys had to pee in a cup a lot. I think it would only be appropriate if an official had to do the same.
I mean, even if a referee was on some sort of performance enhancing drug, I don't see how that would affect their officiating. So
you're wrong on that because let me explain this to you, Stan.
Oh, here we go.
And I'm here for you.
Preachy.
Yeah, let me explain this to you. It would affect your refereeing style if you were the referee that was on TV when you made a call, because if you felt jacked and you were taking steroids and you liked the way you looked in your shirt, you would want to be on TV more, which means you would throw more flags. So it would impact your referee style if you were the one that got the TV time. So there you go.
I mean, that's plausible, but Landry, you're reaching on that one. Like you're reaching. You dipped very deep into your grapevine education to go ahead and find the mitigating stance on that.
All right, Stan, so take me into the many, many, many all-team meetings that you've had, let's just say at the professional level, okay? And a player has a disagreement with the head coach who's calling him out after something, and it gets a little heated, and maybe names are called even among players.
Oh, yeah.
How many times has that happened that you've seen?
Oh, that's probably happened maybe about three or four off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. Where it just becomes a little heated, heated exchange. So
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so I want to get your thoughts because the reports are that Justin Reed, the Texans had this standard. They didn't even call it a rules break. They said they had this standard. Another report said that Justin Reed disagreed with something that David Culley said. They got into an argument. He might have said something to Chris Conley, and then he was suspended for a game. I was kind of floored if that was just what it was, that he got suspended for a game.
Yeah, I basically read some version of that also. You know, Justin Reed's a friend of mine. I've actually had him on my podcast, things like that, and he doesn't strike me as the type that is going to be insubordinate. He doesn't strike me as the type that's going to go against what a coach says or anything like that. Now, like I said, I'm not in that locker room. I'm not in that facility, so I have no idea what happened. But I can tell you from personal experience that disagreements happen oftentimes on a football field. They happen oftentimes on the practice field. They happen on basketball courts, in the locker room, things like that. So having a disagreement with the coach is not something that is uncommon. Now, I think that once you get to the point to where it is becoming personal, once you get to the point to where you're past the point of no return or you can no longer come back and reconcile, that's when it starts to get tumultuous, or should I say the word toxic, because, you know, that's what everybody wants to use in 2021. But it also could just simply be a certain coach that has a disciplinarian type of mentality and has more of an authoritarian type of mentality where he doesn't even want to be opposed. He doesn't want to be questioned. He doesn't want to receive any pushback on what he says goes. And as a player, you need to just be a good soldier and follow in line and things like that. So I've been around that, and I think that there's multiple ways to skin a cat. And I think that anytime you have a disagreement, that's a part of football. I don't care who it is. I think you just got to find a way to go ahead and get past it so you can still have a certain amount of respect for one another.
Is toxic really the word of 2021? I know we're in the final month. That wouldn't
Landry,
be my top 10 list.
No, Landry, I'll tell you like this. Here I am. I'm at the high school. This may be about a month ago. One of my DBs. And he was referring to a conversation between – he was referring to something that happened between one of the other players on the team. And he literally said, man, like, their friendship is so toxic, it's not even funny.
Okay.
I was like,
when
I was floored by
it. You know it's true.
Yeah, like, no, but, like, it's one thing to be in a toxic relationship, man and woman, marriage, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. Yeah. You know, it's toxic. When you're referring to a friendship as toxic,
yeah,
what the hell is that?
I don't know. That just seems kind of odd. I don't know. How much time do you spend talking to these kids about stuff off the field? Because that seems like that would wear me out, man.
Well, no, the one thing that I do, and this is something that I learned from a lot of the DB coaches that I've had, is I felt like they were uncle figures or somewhat father figures to me, where they taught me a lot about life. And there's a lot of those lessons that I still carry with me to this day. And mind you, I stopped playing back in 2012, guys. So the one thing that I do as a coach, the one thing I do as a DB coach, and I tell all my kids this, I give them my phone number. I tell them, listen, if there's anything that you ever need, if there's anything you ever want to talk about, I don't care what time of day it is. I don't care what time of night it is. You call me. If there's a situation going on at school, there's a situation going on with your girlfriend at home, I don't care if you get thrown in jail, you call me and I will answer.
You don't want these kids calling you to talk about your girlfriend when you're out at 10:30.
Good for you.
Come on.
Because this is why, Landry.
Hey,
and, you know, obviously your grapevine ass is something that you can't understand this. But the thing is that, you know, we all need somebody to talk to. And I remember times back when I was in high school, I went through certain things, or even in college, and you need somebody to talk to or lean on. So that's one thing I always try to do, is I try to maintain that open communication of, hey, anything you need, any question you may have, any situation you may be going through, because there's nothing you're going to go through in life that I haven't gone through, or any other coach on this staff. I always make sure that I let them know that, hey, trust me, you're not alone. It is what it is. We'll get through it. And trust me, there's so many men that have gone through what you're going through right now. So don't feel like you're ostracized and don't feel like you're isolated. But I always do try to maintain a certain type of life aspect because, you know, at the end of the day, football is nothing more than a metaphor for life.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Oh, wow, there you go. By the way, the son of a four-time teacher of the year, Stan. So I understand it. I'm just saying, 10:30 these days, I don't want kids calling me talking about their girlfriend.
Of course not. But I do know this. But and you know, just like this, Landry and J-Lo, the things that we go through in childhood, the things that we go through in adolescence, what happens? They shape us as men.
Of course.
So you don't want somebody going through something in high school that they could have avoided that shapes them for the rest of their life, whether it's having an unplanned pregnancy, whether it's going and doing something stupid, and now you have a jail record or you're a convict or something like that that will affect you in the job market for years to come, or just somebody going through something where they have a psychological breakdown, and now all of a sudden they're scarred for life, or they have certain transgressions or things like that that affect them mentally where it keeps them from being a fully functioning adult. Because you and I both know, come on now, even me at age 38, more and more as I get older and older, I meet people and I see, oh yeah, that was a part of their upbringing.
They're weak
in that area because, you know what, mom and dad didn't teach them that, or they're strong in that area because somebody did teach them that. So I try to do my part as far as helping in any way that I can with these kids.
Stan, you actually came up, we're kind of up against it, but you came up at my Thanksgiving dinner. I was talking about high-maintenance Stanford Rout, who will have his mom cook a steak for him on Thanksgiving dinner. That came up.
Oh, here you go, Landry. I'm just saying, like, you know, I get it. You're in a good mood.
High-maintenance Stanford Routes. Having him cook a steak for him at Thanksgiving dinner.
It is a simple preference, Landry. That's all it is.
There you go.
Hey, it's a simple. But hey, Stan, I'll say this. You tried to tell me it only took 10 minutes to cook a steak?
You can.
It
only takes 10 minutes to put some chicken nuggets in the oven, but at some point you got to become a grown-ass man and eat what everybody else is eating, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. That makes me grown because I eat what everybody else is eating. I'm sorry. Like, I thought being a grown man was owning your own decisions and standing by them. Okay. That's what I was always taught. But you know what? I'm not from Grapevine, Texas. So, you know, come on now. Hey, J-Lo, come on. Get this guy out of here.
Oh,
Brady Bunch neighborhood.
All right. Stanford Rout.
Come on.
Stanford Rout. Y'all are eating the what? Lasagna? All right, let's get some chicken nuggets and mac and cheese ready. Stanford. Holler at you next week, Stan.
All right, man.
Man. Y'all be good, man. Talk to y'all next week.
There you go. Stanford Rout. By the way, he's always got to mention where I'm from. It's
he
so
does it
hurtful.
Every week. It's awesome. But you I like it. It's become a thing.
But you know who went to the same middle school as me? I say this 100 times. You know who got taught by Cassandra Locker?
Mm-hmm.
Max Crosby, baby.
How about that?
You don't beat the Cowboys without that area. So put some respect on it, Stan. Coming up, RG3 is releasing a book. You could have a baby before you could get that book. And Mike Tomlin.
Conceive a baby.
Doing his thing next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.